Revive us from our brokenness.
Good morning, church. Yeah, it's my honor to share the good news with you this morning. As we start, let's bow our hands and pray. Dear Lord, thank you again for giving us this opportunity to worship you this morning together. God, I just pray that you continue to bless this worship so that everyone will have a listening heart. And we have the obedience to respond to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this morning I would like to preach a topic which is not often mentioned in church. The revival of our brokenness. What I'm going to talk about is how we can survive in the brokenness of our lives. And how we can have strength in the brokenness of our life. In our life, we don't like brokenness because it seems to represent being imperfect, useless, and worthless. If you have a broken dish, what are you going to do? You throw it away, right? Because it's useless. When we have a big stain in our clothes and cannot wash it away, what are we going to do? We throw that away because it looks ugly. When the painting has a big cut and cannot be restored, what are we going to do? We throw that away because it's worthless. Now, it is easy to deal with broken things, but let me ask you this. How about people? How about people? If people are broken, what should we do with them? Is a broken person like a broken thing? Does a broken person have values? Is he or she worthless? Now, I believe most, if not all of us, would say people are different from things. Although people are broken, they still have values. Although we have this recognition, I think we all understand that. It's still hard for us to deal with people who are broken, and hard for us to deal with our own brokenness. Now, brokenness can come in many forms. The most obvious one is physical brokenness. Now, this refers to those who are physically challenged. They may be without one limb. They may have hearing impairments. They may be blind. Now, some may be born like that. Some may get that from accidents. Another kind of physical brokenness is the result of severe illness. People have terminal illness like cancer. Some physical brokenness does not have a clear line. Some may really care about how they look. They may consider themselves too fat, too thin, too short, too tall, and too ugly. Maybe you think that's, you know, that's nothing, right? But you're really short like me. Then probably you have different thinking, especially when you are teenagers. Height is very important. Well, but anyway, people look at these people differently, or they think people look at them differently. They don't have a high esteem. They really feel awkward among people. They feel this awkwardness. They don't think they fit in. How about mental brokenness? Now, mental brokenness is more difficult to detect than physical brokenness. Mental illness has become a serious issue in our modern world, probably because of stresses in our social settings. Now, according to the information from an organization called National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, NAMI, in 2015, approximately one in five adults in the U.S. So what's the percentage? It's almost, there's a 43, that's almost 20%. It's 18.5%. That's 43 million people experience mental illness in a given year. This depression is, of course, the most common syndrome. Does it only affect non-Christians? So it's only about Christians, only non-Christians have depressions? Only non-Christians have mental issues? The statistic said, no, this is not the case. Lifeway Research, I don't know if you never heard of that organization. It's a Christian organization. He conducted a kind of survey in partnership with Focus on the Family and other Christian organizations. They try to measure the perception of pastors, churches, and those suffering from mental illnesses on a wide range of related topics. They find out about 75% pastors knew someone diagnosed with clinical depression in their congregations. That means in about 100 churches, there are 75% of them, people with mental illness in that church setting. Now, how about the pastor? Even the pastor themselves cannot be immune from it. The same research, which is confirmed by NAMI, showed that 23% of the pastor indicated they have battled a mental illness of some kind of personal level, and including 12% who said it was formally diagnosed. How many staff here in this church? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? 5. So here, there's a 25% of pastors, they have had a mental illness of some kind of personal level. So it's 1 in 5. So look at yourself, maybe the one of them have have been pressured. Of course, that's just kidding. But churches don't normally address these issues, right? People don't talk about mental illness in churches. That's why the Christian magazine, Christianity Today, had a title for an article. And I think I find it very interesting. The topic is depression, the church's best kept secret. Depression, the church's best kept secret. Those who suffer mental illness are distressed and suffering, and keeping up is overwhelming for them, and they have problematic relationships. But quite often, they are not willing to share the conditions with others because they are afraid people will look at them differently, especially in church setting. I don't know if you know somebody who have mental issues. They have this mental illness. They have this passion. How are you going to look at them? Will you look at them differently? And how are you going to do with them? Are you scared of them? Are you afraid that they will do something crazy suddenly? That's why maybe that's the reason people don't want to talk about that in church. It's the best kept secret. How about spiritual brokenness? We talk about physical brokenness. We talk about mental brokenness. How about spiritual brokenness? Again, spiritual brokenness is also an area where people in the church don't want to go there. Spiritual brokenness is the struggles in the relationship with our Lord. We find out that we have a very detached relationship with God. We don't want to pray. We don't want to read the Bible. We don't want to come to the church. And we don't want to build a close relationship with other brothers and sisters. We want to be left alone. And somehow we manage to hide or cover our status. We don't want people to pass judgment on them, on us. We rather pretend in the church that we have strong faith. I don't know how often you talk about the weakness of your faith. I don't know whether you want to show your weakness in your faith. And I want to emphasize one thing. I don't know if we have PowerPoint, right? I don't have the control. Okay, thank you. I want to emphasize one thing. Physical brokenness, mental brokenness, and spiritual brokennesses, thank you, are not all independent. They are interrelated. Excuse me. They are interrelated. And physical brokenness will affect our mental and spiritual health. And our mental brokenness will affect our physical brokenness and spiritual brokenness. And the same way, our spiritual brokenness sometimes will affect our physical and mental health. About 6 months ago, my left hand had a very funny feeling. At first, it's just, you know, the fingers kind of felt strange. It's really funny feelings. And at first, I didn't pay too much attention to it. I became a little bit old. I'm almost 60. Next year, actually, I'm 60. But then it became worse and worse, and it starts shaking. And long story short, after consulting different doctors and specialists, I was diagnosed having Parkinson's disease. Now, this disease is bad news. It's not good news. It will cause disorder of a person's movement. And eventually, the person will become disabled. When I first heard the news, honestly speaking, I didn't know what to think. I was shocked. You know, I didn't expect that. Because first the doctor said, oh, it's not Parkinson, don't worry about it. And then later, sorry, I'm wrong. I was wrong. It's Parkinson's disease. And I didn't know what to think. And honestly speaking, it did cause me some sleep last night. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to deal with it. What's our plan in the future? And in some way, it affects not just my physical, it's not just my body. It also affects my mental and spiritual status. Yeah, they're all interrelated. Now, brothers and sisters, if you encounter a broken person, or you yourself are broken, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now, if you have physical and mental issues, probably you will go to see doctors and, you know, get some medications. Now, if you have spiritual issues, what are you going to do? You consult with your pastors, right? Now, they are instrumental, they're helpful, but sometimes they have their limits. The doctors and medication may not be able to heal your cancers. It doesn't matter what you take. It's just your body just fell apart. And they cannot recover your eyesight. You know, about another story about myself a year ago, probably a year ago or maybe 1.5 years ago, you know, I have this numb problem. I have a lot of problems, I find out. It's called mycobacterial infection, yeah, for my lung. So I need to take three antibiotics at the same time for a long period of time. But after 6 months, I find that there's something different. When I try to read, it becomes blurred. And then my vision has greatly affected. So I went to see a doctor. The doctor said it's because of a side effect of the medication, so stop that medication and just let it heal. So I stopped the medication. But thank God my vision came back. But one thing I noticed, and I asked the doctor, what can I do? You can't do nothing, take some vitamins. That's his suggestion. You know, sometimes the doctors can help you, but sometimes they couldn't. Well, but that's reality. And how about the medication for mental health? This kind of medication has a lot of side effects. Now, as Christian, in addition to those things, those medication, those, you know, you're concerning with your pastor and that kind of thing, I think it's important for us to have a proper spiritual attitudes to face all this brokenness. Let our Lord restore us from our brokenness. And in our brokenness, we find peace and beauty in God. Now listen, in God, we can be whole again, although we are still broken. Now listen carefully, let me repeat that. In God, we can be whole again, although we are still broken. I'll explain this. Now in today's passage, Paul finds his strength in Jesus and his gospel when facing all the stresses from outside. Now let us read this together. I would love the congregation to read God's word together, okay? But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Now the treasure here refers to the gospel. And the jars of clay obviously refers to Paul and his co-workers. Now in the rest of this passage, Paul describes how he can stay hopeful among all the difficulties and all the troubles. And then again, in chapter 11, he also talks about all the difficulty he encountered in his life when he tries to preach to share the gospel. And that's what he said. Again, let's do this together. But Jesus said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. My grace is sufficient to you." That's God's promise. That's Jesus' promise. And I think here Paul once again emphasized our strength in our brokenness comes from Christ. Christ is our strength. And indeed, this is the promise from our Lord. He will be with us. And he will be with us wherever we go. And whatever we encounter. And he loves us in a gentle way. And he said, this is Jesus said, "A bruised reed he will not break. And a smoked wick he will not snuff out." I think we're all familiar with these verses. But indeed, these verses, I think, is very promising, especially for those who are in brokenness. And the other verse is from Psalms 34, verse 18. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit." The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Now there are so many more passages about Jesus Christ's healing power in the Bible. We're not able to visit them one by one. Now what I'm trying to say is we have to bring our brokenness before God and let God help make us whole again. I don't know if you know this person. Yeah, probably many of you know about him, maybe heard about his speech. He is actually a Christian motivational speaker. Now, here is his picture. And I believe he's a very good example about physical brokenness. Just look at him. He basically has no arms, no legs. And many may consider him useless and worthless. What can you do? You know, without arms, without your legs, what are you going to do? And at a point of his life, And he also considered himself useless. I'm useless. I don't know why I exist here in this world. So he tries to commit suicide. He didn't succeed anyway. But God found him when he was lost. When he thought he was useless, God told him, no, you're valuable in my sight. And I love you. And he has become a very famous motivational speaker and preacher. He finds his value in God. His physical brokenness actually become a kind of powerful message for all those who have physical disabilities. How about this one? Yeah, I need to be fair, right? Yeah, we just talk about a guy, so I need to talk about Gail here. Just look at this woman. Her name is Lina Maria. Now look at her. What do you see? Again, there's no arms. There's no arms. She was born 1968 with only one healthy leg. The other one half developed. She didn't let her physical brokenness stop her. Actually, she was an accomplished swimmer. She got gold medal and set world records in Paralympic Games. And she is a painter. And she's a singer. And maybe you wonder how she can paint. Use what? Yes. Use one of her legs. One of her legs to do that. And she populates many cities in Asia. So she was kind of at some point she was kind of famous in Japan too. And she also engaged in different occasions to talk about human dignity, identity, and life quality. How can she do that? It's because of Jesus Christ. Because she found that value in our Lord Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, don't let your physical brokenness put you down. Your value is in God. Again, your value is in God because you have his image. It doesn't matter whether you have hands, legs, whatever. You still have his image. And he has a purpose and plans for you. And no matter what your physical situation is, he loves you. He loves you. So it doesn't matter whether you are old, whether you are sick, whether you are fat, whether you are thin, you are pretty, you are ugly, you are single, and you are married, you are barren, you have children. One thing's for sure. God still loves you. God still loves you. People judge us by our appearance. But God doesn't do that. And I hope this is your comfort. And I hope this is our comfort. Our Lord said, my flesh and my heart may grow weak. But God always protects my heart and gives me stability. Maybe your brokenness is mental. Maybe you are like the prophet Jeremiah. You know prophet Jeremiah, right? He was called to God's work. But he got attacked from all sides, including his good friends. Now let us read this passage. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. And here he said, cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Just look at this. When you have birthday, what are you going to do? You celebrate, happy birthday. But Jeremiah said,
Curse me the day I was born. Curse my birthday. Don't celebrate it. Curse it. So from what he said, you can probably understand how much pain he was experiencing. He doubted his own existence. And what really sustained him? He hung on there by holding onto the Lord. That's what he can do. That's only what he can do. And that's what he proclaimed. Now let's read it together with conviction, okay? I know you're tired. It's early. But let us read this, okay, with passion. Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in time of distress. Yeah, indeed, as the psalm said, the same thing. The Lord is our what? It's my fortress. The Lord is my shelter. And the Lord is my strength. When you are in mental brokenness, you may worry a lot of things. You don't see an outlet for your problems. You don't think you will make any difference. And you don't see any hope. You don't think people understand you. You feel so lonely. And sometimes you have this thought to commit suicide. You isolate yourself. Brothers and sisters, come to the Lord. Believe what the Bible tells you. Maybe you couldn't see the life in your life. Maybe it seems that you're in the darkness, deep darkness. But God is light. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And Jesus come into this darkness as light. Maybe you grew up yourself. But God never gives you up. Maybe it's true that you couldn't make any difference. But God can make impossible possible. I know it's hard. It's not easy. But don't give up. Instead, give in to God. And let God lead your way. And let God bring you out of this darkness. Spiritual brokenness. Spiritual brokenness is often only viewed as negative. That's why we don't talk about it. But to some extent, spirit brokenness is the beginning of the spiritual revival. If we bring this brokenness to God. David is a good example. Now we all know that David committed adultery. Actually, somehow, some way, he murdered people, you know, in a direct way. But after the prophet Nathan had pointed out, David wrote Psalm 51. He said, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. When we come to God, God can make a pure heart and create a steadfast spirit. And we can also see this in the parable of the lost son. Remember that story? When the lost son was totally broken and repent, what did he do? He went back to his father. He was revived from his brokenness by his father. Brothers and sisters, come before God with your brokenness. God will not overlook it. He will help you mend the relationship with him. And one thing I want to remind you, actually, don't be afraid to talk about that. I always talk about this. When you come to the church, it should be a safe place. It's a place where you can serve your brokenness, where you can serve your weaknesses. But somehow it's kind of opposite. We come to the church, we want to wear a mask to show that I'm okay. I'm always okay. I love my law, and the law loves me. We are okay. But you know that. It's not okay a lot of time. I'm a pastor, right? I should be always okay, right? No, it's not. I suffer too. Because this is normal. I'm telling you, it's normal. If you look at the Bible, this is all these Christians, all these wonderful Christians, including Paul. What do you think about them? Paul will say, I'm weak. That's why I need God's grace. That's why I need God's strength. If he's so strong, why does he need God's grace? He doesn't need that, right? No, he's weak. And he needs God. And every Christian needs God. And I hope in church we can share about this. And we come together to help one another. Brothers and sisters, do you like these pictures? What do you think about these pictures? Now, if you look at these pictures, you probably noticed the scars on these pieces. On these pieces. And actually, there's a term for this. I don't think I've ever heard of it. This is called kintsugi. I don't know whether actually it's the right pronunciation, but I think so. The art of precious scars. The art of precious scars. Now, this traditional Japanese art uses a precious metal. They call it liquid gold, liquid silver, and dusted with powdered gold to bring together the pieces of a broken pottery item, and at the same time enhance the bricks. The technique consists in joining fragments and give them a new, more refined aspect. Now, every repair piece is unique because of the randomness with which ceramic shatters and the irregular patterns formed that are enhanced with the use of metals. Now, with this technique, it's possible to create true and always different works of art, because each with its own story and beauty. And thanks to the unique cracks formed when the object breaks, as if they were wounds that leave different marks on each of us. As if they were wounds that leave different marks on each of us. And I believe that Jesus on the cross should be the best kintsugi symbol. It's broken. And it's whole. It's ugly. Yet it's beautiful. It's hopeless, and yet it's full of hope. Brothers and sisters, we all have our own brokenness. We all have unique brokenness. Everybody's is different. But we know, if you live long enough, you know that we all have this brokenness. And we are not able to fix our brokenness by our own. We try, but it won't succeed. Let's bring our brokenness to God, and he can make us whole and beautiful again. He can mend all our scars and brokenness and turn them into shining spots, turn them into stars. As the Bible said, by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. Finally, I want to point out that we can complement one another in our brokenness. As I always say, God has a plan by putting us together. At this time, in this church, it's not a coincidence. We all come here to worship and to serve. God wants us to share each other's burden. God wants us to care about one another. If we care each other's when they have physical, mental, and spiritual brokenness, we can lift each other's up before our Lord. And I believe each of us is like a piece of mosaic. By our own, we are just like a broken piece. It doesn't make sense, basically, if you only have a piece of mosaic. But when God put us together, then we can become a beautiful pictures. This mosaic, beautiful mosaic pictures, telling the story of Jesus' crucifixion and Jesus' resurrection, and most of all, His gospel, His good news. We are still broken, but when we come together, we are whole. So brothers and sisters, I don't know about your history in 2018. You know, it seems that I lived 100 years ago. Maybe you have your problem. Maybe you still have your problems. And you don't know how to deal with it. But really, I hope you remember who you are. You're God's children. And I hope you remember who your Father is. Your Father is your Heavenly Father. He loves you, and He is with you. He will bring you through. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your promise. You promise that you'll be with us no matter what. And God, sometimes we don't feel that way, especially when we're in brokenness and we're in difficulties. Sometimes we don't see you. But God, we know you're still there, holding our hands and leading our way. And God, let us have this faith to follow you. We are people with little faith. And God, we need you. And I pray for all these brothers and sisters. No matter what situations they are in, God, just pray that you'll let them see you and let them have this faith come to before you. And they will all experience the love that you promise. And thank you, Lord, for this morning that we can worship together and listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.